Well, you are now well primed to hear the story of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. And there is certainly miracle of wind and flame and tongue, but there's one more. There is also the miracle of the ear. So I want to encourage you to listen to God's word as we read this passage from Acts chapter 2. Listen for God's word to you. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pause and pray. Gracious God, on this day, when we celebrate your greatest gift, one of your greatest gifts being the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to the churches, to us today. And as the very one who inspired these scriptures, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would now cause these words to find deep lodging in our hearts and minds and souls. And as always, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know what you tend to think about Pentecost. I don't know what tradition of church you may have come from. We are Presbyterians, so we're pretty used to things being decently and in order, and there is no doubt that part of the work of the Holy Spirit was to bring order out of chaos. But we should bear in mind that the Holy Spirit was also the one that agitated people an awful lot, that brought things out of people that people were never expecting. And so just a reminder to you, on that very first Pentecost, it happened to everybody. Men and women, young and old, slave and free, the Spirit poured over all of them. And although there were distinct languages and cultures representing really all of the world's people at that time, there is direct communication of these divine deeds of power, no translation needed. And not only that, as those words were spoken, people who were hearing really heard. I mean, they really listened, they understood. And everyone on that first Pentecost was on a level playing field when it came to the power and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. No wonder people were amazed and perplexed and judgmental. Some people thinking that they were just drunk, doing all these weird things, hearing these weird languages. I would remind you then, as now, human beings tend to categorize and compartmentalize. The truth of the matter is, residents of Judea didn't hang out with Egyptians, and Asians didn't talk with Arabs, because literally and also figuratively, they don't speak the same language. So I got to thinking about this, just like the cafeteria in my middle school way back when. Maybe it's still true in any middle school. Everyone knows who sits at what table, and only like groups sit with like groups. Except for, if you are aware, maybe there's a very few of you that actually would cross over those metaphorical but yet truly real lines. They were as evident, as Joel Duffield says, as the yellow ones on the highway. Pentecost. Something radically new was beginning. It was a new beginning. It was a new creation. It was, in fact, revolutionary. There's no way around that. Wind and flame remove the barriers and the walls between people that are separated by geography and language and culture and nation and class and race and every other human category that you could think of. Women and men, young and old, slave and free. Some are given the miracle of the tongue to speak fluently. God's deeds of power to tell of the saving work of Jesus. Many others, people both at the center, right there in Jerusalem, and from the margins of the very ends of the earth, are given the miracle of the ear to hear, to understand, to receive what the Holy Spirit is doing. So here we are in 2018. Our divisions are so very evident. Some of them are just old, ancient divisions. Culture and tribes and languages and races and nations and rich and poor. Some are more new divisions based on ideologies that are current or technologies. And even in the video that you saw, some of those tensions that have come between different generations, young and old. And what about us on church? What about the church? Given that the church was birthed at Pentecost, and because I work and live in a church, is there any more siloed kind of group than the church? By denomination, by doctrine, by style of worship, by different views of the sacraments, by theology, whatever happened to Pentecost? Where did the wind and the flame and the Spirit go? Now, the truth of the matter is that Pentecost is always a new beginning, as I was reminded in Sunday school this morning. Walter Wink and Eric Law, the two theologians that I first heard this from, they talk about how Pentecost is truly a miracle of communication. There is the miracle of the tongue, and there is the miracle of the ear. You heard me talk about it already. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples power to speak in different languages in order to communicate the mighty works of God. But the Holy Spirit also gave the miracle of the ear for those multitudes that knew that the disciples were Galileans and were questioning about why they could understand in their own languages. They could hear, they could really hear, they could truly understand, they could really receive what the Holy Spirit was doing and understand the mighty acts of God. The miracle of the tongue seems more action-oriented to us, putting out words, giving out information. The miracle of the ear seems much more passive. It involves listening. It involves receiving. It involves understanding. But today, because it has so resonated with me, you just get to be a part of this. I want you to consider the miracle of the ear. Have you ever prayed, ask the Holy Spirit, for ears that hear? Here's why I think it's so important. The word listen appears in the Bible over 1,500 times. 1,500 times. Do you think we're supposed to get this? You can't go very far anywhere in the Scriptures before you hear the word listen. Intriguingly, the most frequent voice complaint in the Bible is that people don't listen. In Hebrew, the word for obey has as its root, it's rooted in the verb to hear, so listening is at the root of any act of obedience. Do you have ears to hear? There's so many great stories, and truly the overall theme, I think, throughout Scripture is about God wanting to speak into the lives of human beings, to be present, to be with, to dwell with human beings while human beings are learning to recognize and hear the voice of God. Have you heard the voice of God through the Holy Spirit? A couple of stories that I think are helpful in learning this. You remember the story of Samuel when he was just a boy. He was woken from his sleep by hearing his name called, Samuel, Samuel. He assumed that it was Eli, the priest in whose home he was living. And he went to Eli, but Eli said, no, it's not me that I'm calling. And this happened three different times. By the third time, Eli actually, it occurred to him, dawned on him, that maybe, just maybe, God is actually trying to speak to young Samuel. So he tells Samuel, the next time this happens, respond by saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Have you ever heard or believed that God would like to speak to you directly? Have you ever thought to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening? And then, of course, there's Elijah after his great showdown with the priest of Baal, Ahab and Jezebel, the king and the queen at the time. They pursue him with even greater determination to kill him. So in his anguish, Elijah goes to the mountains and there is a great wind, but God is not in the wind. And there is an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. There is another fire, but God is not in the fire. And then there is a still small voice, or some translations say, there is the sound of silence. In that, Elijah hears God speak. O word of God, speak. Won't you fall down on us like rain? Listening, hearing, the miracle of the ear. Recognizing that it is God's voice, understanding what God is saying, actively listening so that that's carried out in obedience. The New Testament becomes even more clear. The Gospel of John, Jesus is presented to us as the Word, the Logos, the Word made flesh. And Jesus goes on to speak in parables, a way to train disciples to listen and to hear that voice of God. Not everybody doing just the normal things gets it. Then the power of the Holy Spirit is needed to understand what Jesus is saying sometimes through those parables. And in Jesus' baptism and at his transfiguration, there is a voice that speaks. In some of the Gospels, we are told that not everybody hears the voice. Everybody hears a sound, but some of the bystanders don't really recognize that a voice. Still others hear. And in all four of the Gospels, at the Transfiguration, when the voice speaks, the disciples hear the voice of God say, listen! Listen to him! This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The miracle of the ear. And Peter, at Pentecost, who is given the miracle of the tongue, after all of Peter's foibles and failures, here at this moment, he is given, is empowered by the Holy Spirit, he rises up to speak, and he's given words that are chosen from Joel. I don't know whether he thought about this before or just at that moment it came out of his mouth. But later on, he will continue to need profoundly the miracle of the ear. Remember that time when he had a vision that there was these sheets that come down and all these animals are on it, and all the animals are representative of ones that good Jewish people are not supposed to eat, but the voice comes and says, kill and eat, and this happens three times. About that time, Peter wakes up, and waking up from the vision, there are men from Cornelius, the Roman centurion, the outsider, the Gentile, who have arrived at his door, and interestingly enough, in Acts, right there in chapter 10, it says quite clearly, the Spirit speaks to Peter and says, these men are searching for you. Go with them without hesitation. The miracle of the ear. And later, even if you go all the way to the book of Revelation, there is picked up a refrain there that first began in the Gospels. It comes from the mouth of Jesus himself. Anyone who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Anyone who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Anyone who has an ear, Let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That means you and me, to us, for today. I wonder if you are willing to pray for the miracle of the ear, to learn what it means to be attentive to the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. I think this is especially necessary for people like us. We are action-oriented folks. We like being in control. We like calling the shots. Most of the time, we are loaded up with words. We are ready to say what we think. Words we'd like to say to people, words, claims we'd like to make, positions we're prepared to defend, even claims we'd like to make about God, but we are not nearly so good at listening. Henry Nouwen, in one of his favorite books of mine, it's called In the Name of Jesus, it's still one of the best books on leadership I've ever read. At one point in time, he talks about how we must reclaim, we must relearn to hear. So that, he says, every word spoken, every advice given, every strategy developed comes from hearing the Spirit's voice from a heart that knows God intimately. Then Pentecost takes place. The miracle of the ear. On this Pentecost Sunday, would you be willing to pray for that? Seems to me that there's a couple of things that we need to remember if we are going to learn to hear. The first is this, comes straight from Psalm 46, to be still. With all of the noise that is around it, all the voices that speak into us, oh, church, how much we must learn to be quiet, to find the quiet places, to turn everything off long enough that we could hear. A different voice that often comes to us as a still small voice that if you're not willing to pay attention, you will never hear. I read recently that the average American spends 4 hours a day watching TV. For crying out loud, for the sake of what God is doing in the world, turn off the TV for 30 minutes and find a quiet place and listen. Listen. Oh, how desperately God wants to speak to us. Don't you know? Why, what else would Jesus have claimed to be the Word of God? Right in line with that, it seems to me, is one of my favorite sayings from Dallas Willard is that we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry. If there's anything that makes it hard for us to hear, it's when we are anxious or fearful. If we can find a quiet place, if we can settle just enough. Truly, the Holy Spirit can speak whenever the Holy Spirit chooses, but oh, how it helps for us to be in a place where we could hear. Second thing is that it really helps if your mind is saturated to some extent with the words of Scripture. Yesterday we were listening to a video interview with Dave Eubanks, which you all know, and he was talking about all the different ways. You know, Dave is doing all these wild things in all these places in the world. But I was amazed as I was listening to how many times in the midst of that Dave quotes Scripture. Over and over again as he was telling these different stories, he talks about how the Scripture just came to mind. This Scripture came to mind. That Scripture came to mind. Oh, that we need to have the Scripture that much in us and flowing over us. Which means that every time that we go to Scriptures, we shouldn't be trying to exegete it. This is a particular problem for us as pastors where I'm ready to go in and say, what do people say about this and what can I say about this that maybe you haven't heard yet? But rather to say, what in the world is God trying to say to me in this Scripture? There's a very old, old thing that has been done for centuries and, well, maybe from the very beginning in the church, and that is called Lectio Divina. It's just a practice of hearing the Scriptures read out loud. You listen to it four times. The first time just to hear it, the second time for a word or phrase, the third time for maybe just what God might be saying through that word or phrase that stuck out to you, and of course the last time, what is God saying to you? Even if you have heard this Scripture 500 times, what is God saying to you in this Scripture for you right now, for today? to hear. And finally, maybe most importantly, I don't really know, it seems awfully important to me, to practice humility. To listen is to receive. To receive is to understand, but to understand is, especially with the scriptures and with the voice of God, is to stand under what God might be saying to you. It is to obey. So it seems to me one of the most important things for us is to not assume that we've got all this figured out. To not assume that what we think should be done is what God would choose to be done, because God's ways are not our ways. And so humility, to be in the position to be able to receive, to listen. There's a testing that we'll need to go with all of that, of course. And we've all seen it way too many times where people say that God has said this and there's no confirmation either from the scriptures or from other people around them. So you're always going to need to be testing, making sure that it wasn't just something you ate last night or some weird dream that you had. But on the other hand, always the Holy Spirit will resonate with the scriptures. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit will confirm that through other brothers and sisters in Christ. But today, friends, it is Pentecost. It's a new beginning. It's a new creation. It can feel revolutionary. In fact, it will be revolutionary. God's very Spirit pouring over all of us, men and women, young and old, slave and free. It's a new beginning. And Lord knows in our world that there is a lot to be done. But if we're going to be able to do anything and it truly be in the name of Jesus, it's because we have experienced the miracle of the ear. Let anyone who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to us, to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.